Harold, can you testify in 5 minutes of some things the Lord's doing with you?
I think I have something here, Mark, that fits into it. Sovereignty has been a big issue all the way through.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine from Kansas sent me this, which this guy is a friend of his, also from Kansas. And he had this dream in July of 2010. And this might help to give you some food for thought. He said, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, July the 1st, early in the morning, around 4 a.m., I was awake and the Lord started to show me what time looks like through his view outside of time. I was amazed at what I saw. The Lord's bandwidth is amazingly simple. It's so far beyond our computers, it's so far beyond even our brains. The best way I could describe it was, it looked like the mixture between a CAT scan x-ray and using a Mac operating system of open files that are stair-stepped down as multiple windows are open. All these layers and files make all of time from beginning to end visible to him at any time, at any moment. It is this view that enables him to allow things to happen to us at points during our lives, because simultaneously he sees the effect that the same event shapes into us for who we are and need to be in eternity.
Hallelujah. You know, Harold Crane, I call him constantly, and the thing I love about Harold is that when he hears God's doing something, particularly in areas, he'll just take off, and he has a real ministry for the marketplace. Y'all really need to connect with him, find out more about it, because we will never really talk about breaking out of the role till we see people who operate in the marketplace the same way they do in ministry. And for many years, I think we've so confined things. And I'm seeing God break out in the marketplace ministry. We are really seeing a kingdom culture, a kingdom lifestyle, a kingdom breaking out and operating in a totally new way of doing things. And so I'm so thankful. So now it's all yours. And take your liberty. I don't care if you go over or whatever. Nobody give her no time.
Well, this is all new to me. I don't speak behind the pulpit. And what I say might not have to do with anything or outside the box of what you've been saying all day. Because I speak more on a inward level. I mean, we all speak on that language, but I speak up to the wound and to the past that we cling to. It's time we let go of the past and live in our now. We can't even live in the future. All we have is now. So we need to live in that now and be who God created us to be and live life to its fullest now in our present moment. So on that note, I'm just going to read some things that God's been giving me over the last 6 to 8 months and just go from there, and maybe y'all have questions that Mark can answer. No.
You'll have an answer.
Yeah, he'll have an answer. He backs me up. Like I said, a lot of this is dealing with abuse. I come from an abusive home life, and through the years, me and Mark have been together going on 21 years. I've had to deal with my wounds. As a matter of fact, I want to share this. Ronnie Martin, back in 1993, scared the daylights out of me. I was a young Christian, and he came to me and he said, I've seen all inside. I was like, whoa, what have I done? What have I said? What sin do I have to repent for, you know? And he said, I see your soul, and it's like a sponge with holes in it. And every hole represents something that was stolen from you as a child. And you need to call back your worthiness, your innocence, your beauty, and on and on and on. And renounce the opposite. Every person that has hurt you, or you feel has offended you, and you've held on to and you've attached, not knowingly, but we've attached to that person, and we've allowed that person to control us without even realizing it. We forgive them and release them. And so that's my ministry now, is I want to see people set free from that, the way God, over the last 21 years, is still freeing me. It says, the world is against all forms of abuse, yet we beat ourselves up every minute of every day because we don't believe we are good enough. Yes, even the high-priced lawyers, judges, and even the political offices. It's time we stop abusing and beating ourselves up over what we have done or what we haven't done and begin to see ourselves as God sees us. Our worth or value isn't measured by how much money we have, our possessions, our jobs, or how we look or don't look. We are worthy without all these things. Value and worthiness are like God's breath. It just is. Even though humanity tries to box us in, our true essence of being can't be hindered or boxed. Allow everything that God is and you are to strip and cleanse you from the worldly preconceived ideas of how things should or shouldn't be, and reveal that that you are. Allow His love to overshadow and destroy our negative mindsets. Always remember that God is a forgiving God who doesn't hold us in contempt of anything that has happened to us or any choices we have made. God is a forgiving God. The only one that hangs on to that unforgiveness is us. All God would have us do is to learn from our choices, sharing our experiences, which what we've been doing today, and with others to help them set them free and not let our choices hold us in bondage. Only when we truly come to know God and give up the past and the future in our minds can we understand our now. Remember, we're never separate from God. God is always present now. We tend to play, God's been dealing with me about this. We play the victim card. We victimize ourselves by holding on to the past, by holding on to unforgiveness. And we put ourselves in a prison. We imprison ourselves in our minds, our thoughts, our actions, our reactions, and our choices. And so it's time to stop playing that victim card. You're not a victim. You're free. You're healed. You're all in all. Everything God is ours. And so this deals with that. Says playing the victim card comes so easily for us. We use it to get sympathy, attention, and without even realizing it, we use it to keep ourselves in bondage. By doing this, we rely on our personal history and experiences to get something out of life. Truth be told, all we are going to get is more pain and suffering. If we allow ourselves to be labeled as victims, we need to remove the labels placed on us by ourselves and by others. We place labels on ourselves even with other people's perceptions of us, and we don't even realize it. So we're putting ourselves in bondage or prisons in our minds. Labels only serve to demean you. Mark, I don't think I have that paper you wanted me to read on the barrier beliefs. It is time to stop feeling guilty for our emotions and thoughts and realize that it is when we awaken to present reality that we understand the lies we have created. And this goes with someone was talking about circles today. I don't remember who it was, but I saw this and thought, well, I'm going to read it. It is like we are going through life in circles. We keep having the same thoughts, feelings, and emotions. I keep using the same terms, which keep us in bondage. We hold on to unforgiveness, hate, etc., because it makes us feel powerful, which in turn makes us feel alive or like we aren't accomplishing, or we are accomplishing something. We fear our bodies react to these emotions, therefore believing it's a good thing. If our bodies react to a thought, we believe it's a good thing. It's not always a good thing. We suppress who we truly are within for a counterfeit of death, bondage, and fleeting emotions. At other times on the circle of life, we run from the road that leads to limitless possibilities because we grow accustomed to a habitual form of life. Not understanding that the bridge that leads us home to our Creator goes through the dark nights of the soul. It goes through us. We have to face, deal, and understand that desolation. We have to understand and deal. Got my words confused. Hang on. We have to face, deal, and understand that desolation to reach complete restoration. Does that make any sense? But realizing that we were not on this journey alone is the first step to wholeness. We're never without God. The only place where, I was telling Danny this yesterday, the only place we're ever separate from God is in our minds. Our negative thinking causes us to believe we are alienated. Remember, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? I tend to do that, answer my own questions. Why? Because he can't leave that which he is. If we're created in his mirror, the mirror image of him, he can't leave that he is. Therefore, on this trek to the circle of life, Jesus teaches us how to see ourselves apart from the flesh. It's time to unlearn what humanity has taught you in the classroom called life and be transformed to his truth. And then just one more thing that deals with love. I've got to end with love because the whole conference I've been saying it for months now, and Mark quotes me all the time on it too, that we're all diversified in our beliefs, our thinking, and even and somewhat our knowing, because we can experience the same thing. I was telling Danny this yesterday too. We can go through the same thing, both experience the same thing, but have different experiences. Does that make sense? This is on bitterness. It's time we begin living in and be the love of God and stop living and preaching from the pain and hurts from our past. As long as we hold on to the bitterness and hurt, we are living in a life of judgment and chaos. If bitterness and anger is all we can see or focus on, then this is what we will reap into our lives. How can we expect peace and love if we can't see through the negative perceptions and rage we hold on to? Living this way only leads to death and destruction. Is this what you want for your life? Only through forgiveness and God's love can we see the beauty of life. We say bitterness is an emotion, and it is, but if we dwell on it and allow it to weigh us down or stagnate our lives, it turns into a disease, a dis-ease that kills us. Because we choose to allow someone else's judgments and perceptions to identify us. So that's just kind of where I'm at, dealing with freeing ourselves from our stinking thinking, as the church says. And it's being free, and it's allowing God's essence of being that we are, the freedom to be in us and through us and as us. And now I'm through, and I'm going to, if no one else has anything, I'm going to ask Sandra to close in prayer. It's all yours.
Don't do that. My wonderful sister.
I want to say thank you. I've heard some amazing things today. And I was telling a friend of mine before I pray, I have this thing to where I've always asked the Lord, I just want to have true friends in my life. And I don't like to go seeking for them, because I feel like when he adds them, he's just added a piece of himself to me. So thank you, each and every one, for your beautiful faces and your beautiful stories and wisdom. And on top of that, we're going to close. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you, Father, for each and every person, Father, that's been represented here today. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you, Father, that they love you with everything in them. And Lord, I ask right now for each one that you make their hearts your heartbeat. Yes. You make their thoughts your thoughts. And Lord, and help each one of us to have an eye, to have an ear, to see and hear you in everything. Yes. And know that you are everywhere and in everything. And that will allow us to grow every day and not be the same today that I can be tomorrow. Lord, I thank you for each one, and I pray for a safe trip back to wherever they're going. Father, I thank you for this right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
And as Mark said, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock at IHOP from 9 to 11:30, we hope to see every one of you there.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much for coming.